To this, our chapel home, we come as friends to worship. We come seeking together that inspiration which kindles the spark of the divine in our souls, and so that we may turn ourselves once more into the paths of friendship and into the ways of love. Good morning. A warm welcome to you all in the church and to those of you watching via the webcam. And to those of you who may be listening at a future date. My name is Monica. We have an open pulpit in this church where a member of the congregation can take the service. And this morning, it's my privilege to do that. So I'm going to light the candle. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with gratitude of those who have lighted the flame within us. Now, we will have hymn number 121, We'll Build a Land. Let us praise, Spirit of Beauty, whose revelations come to us in sun, rain, dawn, and dark, in all flowing, circling, shining, and living things, and in the quiet at the heart of all motion. Be within us this day as the wonder and welcome of the living soul. Awaken our sense and quicken our minds, that we may partake and be inwardly fed and renewed. And now we'll say the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our reader today is John.
Good morning. I've chosen to read two short extracts from a book by Cliff Reid. Cliff Reid has spent a lifetime as a Unitarian minister in various parts of England, and he's now retired. The title of the book, Unitarian. What's that? And now a quotation from it. What holds the Unitarian movement together? Unitarians believe that freedom from prescribed creeds, dogmas, and confessions of faith is necessary if people are to seek and find truth for themselves. We rate spiritual honesty above religious conformity. But without a binding creed, how can a congregation, let alone a national movement, stay together? The Unitarian answer is that shared values and a shared religious approach are a surer basis for unity than theological propositions. We are seekers and sharers, fellow pilgrims on the path. And this is how we Unitarians see ourselves. The values underpinning the Unitarian movement have to do with mutual caring and mutual respect. They are the values of a liberal religious community that honours individuality, of a community that finds spiritual stimulation in the unique contribution of each person. They are the values of community that is open to truth from many sources. A community of the spirit that cherishes reason. and acknowledges honest doubt. A community where the only test is that required by one's own conscience. Above all, perhaps, Unitarians are bound by a sense of common humanity. And then further on in the book, what sort of people become Unitarians? People looking for an open-minded religious community where you are free to develop your own truly personal faith. People looking for a liberal church where you are free to voice doubts, where you are not expected to say things you don't believe. People looking for worship that engages the mind as well as the spirit and the emotions. People who want a universal religious approach, open to the insights of more than one faith tradition. People who want a spiritual foundation for their humanist values and their social and environmental concerns. People who want a church that engages seriously with the Christian heritage, but is not bound by it. People in search of something to give balance and depth to their awakening spirituality. People in search of a welcoming and undogmatic religious community for themselves and their families, however defined. End of quote. We in this community celebrate having no creeds. Therefore, each of us has the responsibility of continually working out our own beliefs and consequent actions for ourselves. Last week, Emer's reading was about gratitude. I am very grateful to belong to such a community.
So we now have the children's story. We'll have the story for the children at heart. It's courtesy of one of Bill Darlison's books, Compassion and Concentration. Mrs. Brown had two sons, and she absolutely loved them both. So she worried about them all the time they grew up. She worried about them. But when they grew up, one of them became a seller of ice cream, and another one sold umbrellas. And she worried terribly because on the day that it rained, the son who sold the ice cream couldn't sell ice cream. And on the day then that the sun shone, the other son couldn't sell umbrellas. Nobody wanted umbrellas on a fine day. So she worried about them because they weren't selling their wares. And then years later, she met a friend that she hadn't seen for a long time, and they were having lunch and discussing things and asking how the families were and the usual. And so the friend said, "And how are your two boys?" And Mrs. Brown said, "Oh, they're an awful worry because I'm very sad because one day one of them can't sell his wares and another day the other one can't sell his." So the friend said, "Well, do you know, maybe if you looked at it a different way and look at it on the fine day, look at all the ice cream, the son who's selling ice cream, look at all the money he makes on that day. And then when it's raining, your other son is selling umbrellas. So they're making a profit on those days." So it really is a matter on how you look at things. You can look at them from a good point of view or from a negative point of view. Mrs. Brown was very happy then, so she became known then as the happy woman, where before she had been known as the sad woman. So that's the story. We have hymn number 142 now, Let There Be Light. My reading is called Campaigning for Kindness by Bernadette Russell. She says, "I'm a writer, storyteller, and optimist. Despite my best efforts to walk on the sunny side of the street and see the best in people, sometimes the relentless bad news is just a bit much. It can get you down, it can make you feel like whatever good you do is futile and pointless. After a chance encounter in my local post office, when I helped a man out by giving him the 50 pence he was short of to pay for his stamps, I decided to try carry out an act of kindness for a stranger every single day for a year to see what might happen. To ask the question, can kindness change the world? And to see what the answer might be. If we all commit to these small actions, the cumulative effect will be huge. If at the very least what you do has made a positive difference to one other person or situation, you have helped to change the world for the better. This knowledge is empowering and suddenly makes everything we hope for possible. Another positive effect of committing to daily acts of kindness is that you will begin to notice the kindness around you, to see what there are far more good people in the world than bad, more hope than fear, more love than hate. By the end of the first year, I had successfully answered my own question. Yes, kindness can change the world, and we all have the power and the opportunity to be part of that change. Join us. I'll say these few words, and then Josh will bring our meditation to a close with a recording of boy soprano Axel Reichwin singing Mozart's Laudate Dominum. He was 13 at the time. He's now, I think, 22. May the light within illumine our minds with truth and fill us with the flow of life. Let us claim what is ours simply knowing who we are, sons and daughters of life's longing for itself.
Thank you.
My address is titled New Horizons. Am I being too optimistic in these times? It is January when New Year's resolutions are made. Whether it's January or December, decisions are constantly being made. They can turn out to last for a brief time or for a lifetime. And our New Year's resolutions are usually intended for the long haul. When decisions can be mulled over as to the pros and cons, a great number fall to us unawares. We have no option but to do what's necessary in the moment. It's raining, so we put on a coat going out to go in the car instead of walking. A family member or friend is not well. We take them to a doctor, even though we were about to go into the cinema. We lose a job, finding another might mean changing to an unintended life course, maybe to a new area, a different country. It's a total life shift, but we come to terms with it. A new chapter begins. The most tragic of all is when a loved one dies. Our lives are shattered and our hearts are broken. We are bereft and grieve, a grief from which some never recover. Living with a fractured persona and a longing for the loved one. Generally, life is full of different directions, losses and gains. The older we get, the more we realise how much we appreciate our loved ones, our friendships, our surroundings, our ability to be independent, the concern and care we receive from others, and how we can return that. Now, we live in extraordinary and turbulent times. We know immediately what is happening in any part of the world. We hear words as they are being spoken and events as they are happening. It's our way of life and taken for granted. There is much disinformation and misinformation, and it is difficult to know what to believe. Every day we are bombarded by news of doom and gloom coming from all parts of the world through multiple airwaves. Whether we consciously look at news or not, negativity filters through. Even the soaps, entertainment, television programs are negative, some with harsh storylines. All this negativity results in fear. There's a fear of robbery, fear of bad health, fear of homelessness. The list goes on. Where there is so much fear, love cannot enter in. So is there any hope? A number of spiritual teachers are telling us there is. People such as Tim Wilde, Pam Gregory, Lee Harris, Diana Cooper have been saying for a number of years that the energy of the world is changing. Lee Harris says, humanity is facing an unprecedented phase of evolution. Planetary revolution and the acceleration of time. More and more people are seeking guidance as they wake up to a connection with something far bigger than what they were taught about human life. We are experiencing a global upheaval. Awareness of the spiritual self is becoming more prevalent. Prayer has always been important. Meditation, yoga, and such Eastern practices are also becoming popular in the West. For centuries, spirituality was bound up in religion. Most people were born to a particular religion and remained there all their lives. We were told what to do and we obeyed. Questioning the rules was actively discouraged. Finding and being responsible for one's own spirituality is very liberating. When started on the journey, it is so interesting. Navigating the great variety of beliefs is stimulating and satisfying. One day it dawned on me, I only went to Mass because I was in the choir. My search for a spiritual life began. I enrolled in the Milltown Institute, where my mind was opened and I found new ways of thinking. I then joined a group where I discovered healers, I learned how to meditate and listened to intuitives. One group led to another. I was hooked. I arrived here in my spiritual home through Denise, my daughter. By then, I was open to taking a chance on new horizons. It was a wonderful surprise, and I'm very happy here. While some people remain in their religious group, others are searching for their own way to spirituality, and some just do not want to know. People can lift their individual energy or become part of a group. Eventually, all that energy will add up to outweigh the negative. Caroline Mace tells us the law of life is that all things are moving all the time. Life is constantly changing. There has been a turning point in civilization. It started during the Second World War. We entered the nuclear age. It changed everything, including us. It activated in us an evolution in that we have become multisensory and psychic. As children, we learned about five senses: sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell, which are physical. Now we have spiritual, psychic, emotional, intellectual, and energetic senses. We live in a world where we're all interconnected. Yet we have individual experiences. Our heightened intuition makes us more aware and more in tune with our surroundings. Time seems altered, shifting and moving. Life is being lived at a faster pace, and people are not prepared to wait for an outcome, as was the norm years ago. Joan Chittister, a Benedictine sister, in her book, The Time Is Now, A Call to Uncommon Courage, says, "We are the co-creators this world is waiting for, and nothing is going to change until we ourselves change it." She goes on to say, "The choice is to refuse a moral deterioration of the present and insist on celebrating the coming of an unknown, but surely more ethical, more meaningful future." The earth and everyone living in it are flooded with higher consciousness, helping us to live a more heart-centered life. We're waking up to the fact that the individual needs to ask questions when we see or experience wrongdoing. We need to do acts of kindness and show love. Be grateful. We need to be proactive for a better world. Dr. Justine Afra Huxley, in her book, Generation Y, Spirituality and Social Change, says, "We need inspiration to make meaning from the mess. We need stories and myths, teaching, practices and prayers, powerful enough to sustain us through these times. We also need to be reminded of the spiritual opportunities hiding within the crisis. The potential for great need to help us put aside selfish concerns, to grow in maturity and discipline, and to live from our deepest values, knowing love is all that matters." Diana Cooper writes about the golden age. "We are moving into an age of cooperation where people will be supportive of each other. We will have more time for family and community. We will be in tune with our surroundings, with everyone fulfilling their potential. Fear will not exist. This will be the result of us raising our energy and being positive as much as possible with the help of the higher consciousness." Now that sounds like an amazing new horizon. Hopefully we will experience it someday. God is the love within us, whether we follow him or think with love is entirely up to us. When we choose to love or to allow our minds to be at one with God, then life is peaceful. When we turn away from love, the pain sets in. And whether we love or close our hearts to love is a mental choice we make every moment of the day. From Marianne Williamson. I forgot to say at the beginning that this is what I believe, and it's not a doctrine of this church or anything like that. As John said earlier on, in this church, we make up our own minds. So now we have hymn number 144, Now Is the Time Approaching. Thank you, Doreen. That was beautiful. Thank you to everybody who contributed to our service this morning. Our welcomers, Emer and Janet. And Janet is also serving us tea and coffee, as well as Thrace and Alison. A special thanks to Josh for playing the beautiful singing of Axel Ragfen. Ayla, thank you so much for keeping everything in the church running so smoothly. Doreen, it was a lovely surprise, who has played us this beautiful music. Thank you, Gavin, for your help as well. I must say a special thank you to Denise for all our encouragement and support. Everybody is welcome to join us downstairs for tea and coffee. Pam leads our weekly service for reflection in the church every Wednesday from 1:05 p.m. to 1:35. These sessions can also be accessed live on our webcam. The Unitarian Walkers will visit Skerries on Saturday the 21st of February. Meet up at Skerries train station at 10:30 a.m. Please talk to Marcus for further details. The book club is meeting this Wednesday at 7:30 in the vestry. Please speak to Alison for any more information. The next Heart and Soul gathering is on Monday the 23rd of February at 7:30 p.m. Please email Shari if you would like to attend. Details are in the weekly email or Auscult. Josh would like to say a few words.
A few brief words. And the first part of these few words were written by Shruti Rayasekar, a resident of Minneapolis, who has just written a new hymn in the last week. And I just thought, to preface what I'm about to say, it would be nice to read you the words. I'm not going to sing it to you because I'm not quite comfortable enough with the tune yet. Hard to be awake and hard to keep the faith, but feeling slightly better singing with you. Feeling kind of numb as fire burns the world, but a step towards rebuilding is singing with you. Watching fear and violence, watching voices silenced, giving thanks to still be singing with you. Fill the streets with music. Make our voices louder. There is joy and power in singing with you. So I can stay awake and try to keep the faith, because I'm feeling slightly better singing with you. He wrote that this week. He wrote it, I suppose, last weekend, put it on Facebook on Monday. This is how quickly the power of good and the power of communication can spread in terms of fighting back against the various things that are going on in the world at the moment. He shared the PDF of the words and the music, and at the bottom he said, all choirs and all congregations can photocopy as many times as they like, because he wanted those words to go out there. I was at a choral workshop yesterday, and this was introduced to us, and it was just so moving to be singing it together and singing with each other. So I just thought that this would be a really good moment to just put the call out again, that if anyone would like to join the choir, we don't do a lot, we don't sing an enormous amount, and we don't sing particularly complicated music. So if you've ever thought about joining the choir, we're going to have quite a lot of things to do this term, and all voices would be welcome. And yes, as the words say, there is a real feel of community from singing with other people, and all the personal mental health stuff that goes with that, but also the community and the resistance and the peaceful protest that we can have from just being part of a community for good. So, thanks.
So we'll have our final hymn number 108, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. Let us treasure every moment, know the value of each good deed, and discover greatness in small things. May we see in the passing the eternal, in each sunbeam love, in each raindrop wonder, in each leaf beauty, and in every human soul, God's living spirit. Amen.